Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So the reason I'm speaking first is because I'm the youngest of the three speakers. We've heard that the order, the etiquette is that the youngest speaker is first and then the most senior devotee speaks last. We'll read a verse, or a few verses, from Adi Lila, chapter 17. This is the last chapter in Adi Lila. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami analyzes all the pastimes in the Adi Lila. In the texts number 72 to 74, he gives a brief summary of the time that one of Lord Chaitanya's students offended Lord Chaitanya and offended the holy name. And in text 75, which we'll chant, Lord Chaitanya then rightly explains the glories of bhakti. So text 72. Could you hand me my glasses? The blue case there. Thanks. Bhaktagane Prabhu Namamahima Kahila Shunya Paduya Tahan Artha Vada Kaila. Once, Lord Chaitanya explained the glories of the holy name to the devotees. But some ordinary students who heard him made their own interpretation. Namastuti Vadashuni Prabhura Hailaduka Sabare Nishadila When a student interpreted the glories of the holy name as being an exaggeration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly unhappy, immediately warned everyone not to see the student's face from then on. Purport. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the glories of the transcendental potency of the Lord's holy name, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one unfortunate student said that such glorification of the holy name was an exaggeration in the Shastras to induce people to take it. In this way, the student interpreted the glories of the holy name. This is called artavada. It's one of the 10 offenses against the holy name. One should never attempt to distinguish between the Lord and his name or to interpret the glories of the holy name as mere exaggerations. Without even changing his garments, Lord Chaitanya, with his companions, took a bath in the Ganges to be purified. There he explained the glories of devotional service. So it's somewhat humorous in a way, but it's very, very serious actually. It seems funny because, you know, people jumping into the river with their clothes on. They don't even bother to put on the gamsa. But because the offense was very serious, they immediately wanted to be purified of the offense. Then today's verse, please chant. Gyan karma yoga dharma.
Gyan karma yoga dharma.
Nahe Krishna vash.
Nahe Krishna vash.
Krishna vash hetu eka.
Krishna vash hetu eka.
Prema bhakti rasa.
Prema bhakti rasa.
Gyan karma yoga dharma.
Gyan karma yoga dharma.
Nahe Dharma. I wrote Dharma, my fault. Naha Krishna Vash.
Naha Krishna Vash.
Krishna Vash Hetu Eka.
Krishna Vash Hetu Eka.
Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Please chant.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka. Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma
Krishna
Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Ladies, please.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa.
Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna
Vasa. Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa. Jnana Karma Yoga Dharma Nahi Krishna Vasa. Krishna Vasa Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rasa.
Jnana.
Jnana.
The path of speculative knowledge.
The path of speculative knowledge.
Karma.
Karma.
Fruitive activities.
Yoga.
Yoga. The process of controlling the senses.
The process of controlling the senses.
Dharma.
Dharma.
In the activities.
In the activities.
In such an occupation.
In such an occupation.
Nahe.
Nahe.
Is not.
Is not.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Vasa.
Vasa.
Pleased.
Pleased.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Of Lord Krishna.
Of Lord Krishna.
Vasha, for the pleasure.
For the pleasure.
Hetu.
Hetu.
Reason.
Reason.
Eka.
Eka.
One.
One.
Prema.
Prema.
Love.
Love.
Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Rasa.
Rasa.
Such a mellow.
Such a mellow.
A taste or a feeling.
Taste or a feeling.
Translation. By following the paths of speculative philosophical knowledge, fruitive activity, or mystic yoga to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Unalloyed devotional love for Krishna is the only cause for the Lord's satisfaction. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedam Tansvami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gurvani Chavine Yuvise Sashimajvari Pasitare Shatahine. So this three-word phrase, Prema Bhakti Rasa, is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita only once in this verse. And it expresses in a very potent way the core experience that the devotees are striving for. Knowledge, again, karma, action, and yoga. In these dharmas, there's no pleasure for Krishna. Krishna's pleasure has one cause, prema bhakti, rasa. So this is what we are trying to achieve, our highest aspiration. I'm going to speak about this verse from this gold book. It has a nice color like Lord Gaura. This is the book that contains the dissertation that Tamal Krishnamurti wrote at the University of Cambridge called A Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti. In this book he presents Prabhupada's essential teachings for the scholars, and he divides the teachings into the categories Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. He didn't live to write the chapter on Prayojana. It was incomplete. So Garuda Prabhu, his godbrother and friend, wrote the concluding chapter. And I was able to edit this book with Garuda. So I've chosen a couple of pages to more or less read. So let's start. I'm reading Garuda's writing at the conclusion of the book. It's interesting to note in this verse that Gyan, Karma, and Yoga perhaps have some parallel relationship to Prema, Bhakti, and Rasa respectively. This is why on the board you see that the words are color-coded. I learned this in the teacher training class to be very to facilitate the learning experience. So you can understand that the Gyan and Prema, there may be some parallel relationship there and between Karma and Bhakti, Yoga and Rasa. And here is what it is. The ultimate realm of knowing, or jnana, is that kind of knowing found in purest love, or prema. When you get to know someone, you know, you get to know someone because you want to love the person. So that kind of knowing in purest love. The greatest way of acting is that of offering one's heart to the divine, or bhakti. Bhakti means offering one's heart. So that's the greatest way of acting, or karma. And the highest form of union in yoga is that of the intimate relation between the devotee and the divinity in rasa. Krishna is not pleased by the dharma of each of these, karma, jnana, and yoga. This implies that there is the para dharma, the supreme dharma, which is prema bhakti ras, and by which souls are pleased as well as Krishna. So the soul's dharma is this prema bhakti ras, not karma or gyan karma or yoga. This complete phrase, prema bhakti rasa, appears only once in the whole text of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's found in the last chapter of the Arilila. So, in the briefest fashion, Garuda writes, The meaning of these words taken together in this phrase may be understood as the following. With purest love, prema, it is the offering of the heart, bhakti, within the most intimate love between two hearts within the divine, rasa. So when we come up to the highest level, the most intimate relation between two hearts within the divine, that's rasa. For us, of course, Srila Prabhupada exemplifies this, prema, the purest love, but it isn't just some sentimental love. His love was tried by the difficult circumstances in which he put himself in order to spread Krishna consciousness. He had to exhibit extraordinary tolerance and humility and determination. And he was very active in his preaching, giving lectures, writing books, and always restating the truths of Krishna consciousness in a blissful way, always full of the supreme bliss of Krishna consciousness. And his teachings, as he was preaching to others, as he was teaching others, he was writing his books and lecturing. So he was constantly restating his teachings based on his experiences of preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. So you could say it was a kind of cumulative process, his producing the books and inspiring others to accept this blissful level of prema bhakti ras. We know, of course, that bhakti comes. Bhakti is first performed as an external practice. There's vaidhi bhakti, and then later it moves into changes into an internal kind of practice, an internal life of the heart, raganuga sadhana. And Garuda says this movement from the external to the internal is that process in which one is moved from being in the outer world to discovering the innermost world of the heart, which is filled with prema and rasa. So by practicing bhakti, we discover the world of prema and rasa. And one distinction between bhakti and these other paths of karma and gyan and yoga is that bhakti, unlike the other paths, is not centered on the self, but it's loving dedication of the self centered on the divine. And moreover, it's not just a path. Bhakti is not just a path or a means to attain union with the divine. It's also the ultimate end or perfection of the path. It's both the means and the end. So the process of bhakti leads to a state of ecstatic self-forgetfulness. In the process of utterly and totally offering the heart to the divine in prema and rasa, he makes a point here about prema that the purest love of prema is not only for the divine, but it's also from the divine. We don't usually think of prema maybe as coming from the divine. The divinity himself also experiences prema for souls, purest love. Prema means purest love for souls. And thus the supreme love that the divinity holds for souls is also described as prema. Thus love manifests its purest form as prema in both humans and the divine. So that gives you a taste of what is in there. I'm going to stop now because we have a couple other speakers and we want to stick to the schedule. Thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Mother of Shaka.
Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nithi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavai Paskyata Deshatam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnava. Yesterday we heard a wonderful class by Gopinath Acharya Prabhu, in which he quoted extensively from Kavi Kanapur, and he mentioned how the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, extensively used the writings of Kavi Kanapur for the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he extensively quoted from many, many, many scriptures besides the writings of Kavi Kanapur. He quotes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, from Mahabharata, from the Puranas, from the Upanishads, from the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, from the writings of Vilvamangala Das Thakur. And he also quotes Srila Rupa Goswami. And one of the verses he quotes from Srila Rupa Goswami, from the Vidagdha Madhava Adrama, he says, Srila Rupa Goswami says, "May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chamber of your heart, resplendent with a complexion of molten gold. The Supreme Lord, by His causeless mercy, has descended in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy to give what no other incarnation has ever offered, and that is the sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service and conjugal love. This is the unique feature of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Such a beautiful verse. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared around the middle of the last century, we were discussing last night a little bit. Here in Europe, it was a very unusual time, that there was tremendous creativity in the various arts, and people were exploring the seas, looking for continents, trying to find ways to go to India, finding new continents that they didn't know had existed. And India, often in common histories, is overlooked, but actually in India, as we know, something far more important was happening. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving a scientific explanation of how to understand who we are. He was giving complete knowledge of the personality of Godhead and how we could reestablish our relationship with the personality of Godhead by chanting the holy names of the Lord.
And he spread this message throughout the subcontinent of India with great success. But we cannot think of Lord Chaitanya as an ordinary historical personality who is subject to the time and place and circumstance where he appeared. That would be mistaken, although we know where he appeared and when and who was around him and his associates. But in fact, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, who appeared in this age very mercifully. He's beyond history, and his appearance was predicted. If we say to a non-devotee that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will say, I never heard of Lord Chaitanya. How can he be God? If he's God, I should have heard of him. And in fact, it's unfortunate that people, especially in the West, and even in India, have not heard of him. But his appearance is predicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam in several places. When Krishna appeared, there was a name-giving ceremony for him held by Gargamuni. And at that time, Gargamuni said to Krishna's foster mother and father that this child has appeared in other ages. He appeared in a white incarnation. He appeared in a red incarnation. Now he is in this blackish hue. And he will appear in a yellowish hue. That was before his appearance, it was predicted. Also in the 11th canto, it's described Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam, that he will come always chanting the holy names of the Lord, and he will come with his associates, his plenary portions, his personal associates, and his weapon. In so many incarnations, the Lord has weapons, bows and arrows, or the Sudarshan disc. But in this incarnation, his weapon is the holy name and his associates who chant with him. So it's predicted also in Mahabharata, in the Upanishads, in the Tantras. We know there's the Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also mentioned there. So it's confirmed, not only in the scriptures, but also by the sadhus, by the spiritual master. It's confirmed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as mentioned in this verse by Rupa Goswami, he is an extraordinarily merciful incarnation. Rupa Goswami also says the verse we all know, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gora Tushe Namaha. So this word, Mahavaranaya, Prabhupada translates it as the most munificent incarnation. Munificent is a wonderful word. Munificent means it refers to giving a gift. And it's not an ordinary giving of a gift, but it's giving of the gift. And the gift is larger and more generous than is necessary or is expected or is usual. So what a beautiful word to describe the gift of Lord Chaitanya. Because in this age, who is qualified to get the Supreme Lord in the form of a sound vibration? This age we know, Manda Sumanda Matayo Manya Bhaga Upadrita. We're very unfortunate, we're disturbed, we're lazy, our memory is short. So what is our qualification for getting access to the transcendental realm? So thus, Lord Chaitanya is called munificent because his gift of the holy name is far greater than the recipients are worthy of, such as his quality. And also we can understand that Lord Chaitanya is the Lord by his personal qualities, that he was extraordinarily beautiful. When he first appeared, he was called Vishvambara, which means that person who maintains and nourishes the world, all the living entities of the world. He guides them, he saves them. Later on, he was called Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And just by his bodily beauty, he attracted people to follow him. It's described that he had the shoulders of a lion. He had the power of a lion. He had a voice like the roar of a lion.
And the prayer is that this lion-like Lord may enter our hearts, and with his resounding roar, he may chase away all our elephantine vices. So he was gentle, he was peaceful, he was very affectionate to his devotees, he was equal to all living entities, and he was constantly immersed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the characteristics of our Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains Lord Krishna's reasoning before he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Krishna says that he spent so much time in Brajabhumi enjoying the various rasas with his devotees there, the various mellows of servitorship and friendship and parental love and conjugal love. And then when he had completed those pastimes and returned to his own world, he felt so long has passed and the people of this world, they're very much engrossed in ritualistic ceremonies. They're very much engrossed in awe and veneration for the Lord. But these things do not satisfy me. I am satisfied only by bhakti. So, what to do? Actually, when Krishna appeared as Krishna, he made demands. He told Arjuna, and through Arjuna all of us, that I will protect you, I will save you from all sinful reactions, but there's a condition. You must first surrender to me. Sarvadharman paricchaya, mame kam saranam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masucha. And at the time Krishna appeared, people did not accept or realize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead by and large. The Pandavas did, and Grandfather Bhishma did, but so many felt he was an ordinary person. So, why should I surrender? Plus, because we're conditioned, we have an aversion to surrendering. We want to compete. We want to claw our way to the top, to be successful, a self-made person. Surrender is not so attractive. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead thought, I will teach by my example. I will come as a devotee of Krishna and show how to be a devotee by myself acting as a devotee. It's described that the Lord appears age after age to introduce the principles of religion, to annihilate the non-devotees, to support the devotees, the pious people, and to reestablish religious principles. So this was part of the Lord's mission. And also it's described that if he did not reestablish the principles of religion, people would be confused, they would be put to ruination, there would be unwanted population. So it's part of his responsibilities to come in this way. And also it's described that as the great people do, the common people follow. So with these things in mind, the Lord appeared as Gauranga, as the greatest devotee of Krishna, showing how we can be devotees. Just like a parent, if a parent wants the child to chant japa, rather than ordering the child to chant japa, far better for the parent to chant japa and feel himself or herself satisfied and content with that service. And then the child, in the presence of a parent acting in that way, is inspired to follow. So, in the same way, Lord Chaitanya comes. And he teaches very simply that we are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that our constitutional position is to be eternally humble to him, to his other parts and parcels, that we dance as he orders us to dance, and that we can realize our position and experience the pleasure of service to the Lord through this process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Now, the teachings are quite simple. And the way that he induces people to chant is by himself feeling the utmost ecstasy, chanting and dancing. He does this throughout his pastimes. Of course, in the beginning, he acted as a scholar, the supermost scholar. But later on, in the home of Srivast Thakur, and in his travels throughout South India and to Vrindavan, and of course in his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he was chanting. That was the primary pastime. And then with intimate disciples, he would have very elevated talks, philosophical talks, establishing Krishna consciousness as the highest philosophical teaching. And the result of following him, by the materialistic aspects, the materialistic activities of the people of the world, the pages of the history books increase unlimitedly. But unfortunately, people are not progressing in this way. Rather, they're experiencing the frustration of the illusory energy, that it does not create a situation where they can experience the hankering of their heart to love and to be loved fully. Rather, their frustration only increases. So Lord Chaitanya taught that by this simple process that he introduced, we can leave aside these frustrating activities, these activities that have no meaning, concerned only with the modes of material nature, and we can come to a far higher platform. This is his gift to us. So the result of following him is to taste a tiny bit of the joy that he tasted. And all these reasons, including the very fervent prayers of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya saw the condition of the age, how the people were misunderstanding the Vedas, how they were absorbed in useless activities. And so very fervently he prayed for the Lord's appearance, worshipping Shalagram Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi. So that's another reason for the appearance of the Lord. But all these reasons are considered secondary. There is another reason, a confidential primary reason why the Lord came as Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is, Krishna felt in his relationship with Radharani, she is experiencing in our relationship more pleasure than I am experiencing. So in order to taste Radharani's love for himself, in order to experience the sweetness of that love, and in order to himself relish the depths of that love, in an upsurge of feeling for Radharani's mood, he assumed her color of molten gold, and he came as Mahaprabhu in this mood of Radharani to taste the sweetness and the glories and the highest ecstasy of love for Krishna. So this actually is the primary and most confidential reason for the Lord's descent. So I also don't want to take much of your time, but I would like to read one paragraph from Srila Prabhupada's beginning of the Adi Lila. It's just one paragraph. Somehow I'm very attached to this paragraph. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane plane. He belongs to the transcendental plane beyond the reach of the imperfect sense perception of a living being. Even the most erudite mundane scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to transcendental sound in a receptive mood. For in that mood only can one realize the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What will be described herein, this is the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, therefore, has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created by the speculative habits of inert minds. Hare Krishna. I'm going to read that again. What will be described herein has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created by the speculative habits of inert minds. The subject matter of this book is not a mental concoction, but a factual spiritual experience that one can realize only by accepting the line of the cyclic succession. Any deviation from that line will bewilder the reader's understanding of the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a transcendental literature meant for the postgraduate study of one who has realized all the Vedic literatures, such as the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra, and their natural commentaries such as Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. This edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is presented for the study of sincere scholars who are really seeking the absolute truth. It is not the arrogant scholarship of a mental speculator, but a sincere effort to serve the order of a superior authority whose service is the life and soul of this humble effort. It does not deviate even slightly from the revealed scriptures, and therefore, anyone who follows in the disciplic line will be able to realize the essence of this book simply by the method of oral reception. Hare Krishna. All glorious to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you for your attention.
Oma Ganatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Udaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschyatyade Sitarane. I'd like to thank the other speakers. They essentially covered everything, so I can just I could try to repeat what they said. Radha Krishna Pranaya Ladini Shakti Asmat. So Radha Krishna Pranaya, this relation between Radha and Krishna is producing transcendental love or ecstasy. Ladini Shakti, the transcendental potency of divine pleasure and happiness. One time I was in a class with Sri Prabhupada and he was asking the devotees, actually there was only five of us, I think, or four of us in the class. It wasn't a very big class. But he asked us all, do you want to become happy? And of course, since no one had ever asked such a deep question before, none of us actually knew the answer. So Prabhupada looked at us, trying to figure out which of the 8,400,000 species of life he was talking to. And he asked the same question again. He said, do you want to become happy? And since we were taught not to speculate, no one gave an answer. So he looked even more concerned. And he asked the question for a third time. And finally one devotee guessed and figured 50% right, 50% chance of getting it right. So he said yes. And Prabhupada looked very relieved and said, oh, that's very good. Everyone is actually trying to become happy. But what is the actual method of happiness is actually, in one sense, quite deep, and the other sense, quite simple. We say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But it is actually quite deep. What does that actually mean? How to actually become happy? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. So this is Krishna's word for happy, Prasanatma. Nisho shiti nakangshiti samak sarveshu bhuteshu madvaktim labhate para. I'm supposed to say something about this picture here too. This is Kolavikar Sridhar, I think. Is that right? Who painted the picture? That's Kalavekar Sridhar? Is that right? And who's this over here? Is that Hanuman? What's that?
He wants to make some funny scene with the banana.
Oh, okay. Well, that's called a shake. So I had to remember to say something about it. I was asked to do that. But Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nakankshiti, Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu, Madbhakti Labhate Param. If we want to become happy, there are certain preliminary qualifications, such as giving up, hankering, and lamentation. And if we can give those up, then we can make friends with everyone. Because generally speaking, in this material world, we're looking at everyone. Either they're going to satisfy my hankering, or they're going to put me into lamentation. If they're going to satisfy my hankering, then they're my friend. And if they're going to put me in lamentation, they're my enemy. Only when we get free from these two stages of life, of consciousness, hankering and lamentation, can we actually see Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chayava Svapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. Only such a person can actually be a pandit, can see that all living entities are spiritual beings rather than simply objects of my sense gratification. Sometimes victims for my happiness, or sometimes I become a victim for their happiness. But how to actually come to this platform of Brahma-Bhuta? How do we get out of hankering lamentation? How do we see all of the entities on the same level of spiritual understanding, as Prabhupada has said? Well, of course, Vishava Nivartante Nirharasya Dehinam Rasavardham Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. If we can get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we wonder, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only coming once in a day of Brahma. Only Krishna is coming once in a day of Brahma. So what's happening in between? What happens in the other Kali Yuga? People at the beginning, at the end, they just eat each other? Because if there is no Yuga Dharma, then people are simply animals, or less than animals. Therefore, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Maharaj Nimi speaking to the different sages, that also in other Kali Yugas there is the chanting of the holy name. So what's the difference between our chanting of the holy name and the chanting of the holy name in the other yugas? What's the difference? Because there's a difference in the extent of happiness which is possible, the extent of Ladini Shakti that's available. Because in the other ages, Krishna is coming in a form and he's teaching the Yuga Dharma, but not in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan, specifically Radha Krishna Pranaya, Ladini Shakti Asmat. Therefore, our chanting the holy names in this age is infused with the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if we actually serve the instructions of our predecessor acharyas. Our predecessor acharyas are not giving us information simply how to chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna. That's difficult enough. I mean, if we can do that, it would be quite good also. Because Krishna and his name are non-different. Naturally, if that was so, when we were chanting Hare Krishna, we'd remember Krishna. That is, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has told us, when we chant Hare Krishna at first, eventually we'll be able to feel his presence. It may be strange for us that we're not feeling Krishna's presence when we're chanting, because that's the nature of illusion, is that we actually believe that we're not an illusion. The first quality of illusion is to think that you're not an illusion. And when one is an illusion, one actually believes that one is experiencing reality. rather than some kind of something other than what's ultimately real. Of course, what we're experiencing has some quality of reality to it. Just like in the darkness, there's some quality, you're seeing the darkness. The darkness is real, but that's not the whole picture. When the light is shown on the objects or on the room, then we can begin to see what's actually taking place. Similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, we may not feel Krishna's presence, because the presence of Krishna, I remember the first paragraphs I memorized was from a Bhakti Godhead. Actually, it was with her, Mother Vishaka's husband. I don't know if you were there. We were in Buffalo. He was there, and we were in a car. We were going on Harinam, and it was from a Bhakti Godhead. When Krishna comes to Govardhan, Govardhan prepares many lush, clear, silver streams for Krishna, and the gentle breezes they lure the Lord closer. When Krishna comes, all nature sighs with ecstasy, and with a quickened pulse beat, all things become a harmony of joy. Because in the presence of Krishna, there is no fear, but only unbounded love. And nature brings forth its wealth of flowers, etc. So it was very nice. Because if Krishna is actually there, if we're actually experiencing Krishna's presence, then we'd be more than prasannatma. It's an ocean of happiness, cheto, darpana, no arjuna. So first we're trying to experience Krishna's presence when we chant Hare Krishna. And therefore when we say Hare Krishna, we're actually asking Krishna to engage us, not in some service, not that, you know, we chant nice enough and then the temple commander comes and says, you know, can you mop the floor? Ah, my prayer has been answered. No, we're chanting to engage in Krishna's loving service. Without experiencing Ladini Shakti, without experiencing, as it says here, the realm of prema, the realm of bhakti, the realm of rasa, then there is no question of experiencing love, prema bhakti to its fullest extent. So that's what we're trying to do. And when we're experiencing Ladini Shakti at the beginning, Krishna's presence, then naturally we'll remember his form, his transcendental forms, then gradually we'll be able to experience his qualities, his associates, his pastimes, etc. But for us in Kali Yuga, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, what we'll experience is not just Krishna, but we'll also experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no question of actually experiencing Krishna as we should be in this age, without simultaneously being conscious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling his separation from Krishna in Vrindavan. That potency of feeling separation from Krishna in Vrindavan actually is the potency that brings us to Vrindavan. There's no other way of going to Vrindavan without feeling the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Vrindavan. And in order to feel Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's separation from Vrindavan, it has to be in the... Vrindavan is a place of service. It is not a vacation place. You fly in there like the Canary Islands, and you lay down, and you dive into the Jamuna, and you swim around, and then you fly back to New York. It's not a vacation place. It's a place of service. For instance, when we go to Vrindavan, even in this Goloka Vrindavan, I remember one time, the first time I went to Vrindavan, 1974, I believe it was, or it was the first temple president's meeting there. And there it was, before us, Radha Kund. And the devotees heard that there's no greater, well, actually this is 76 when I went there, Radha Damodar. We had heard that there's no better pleasure, there's no greater opportunity than to bathe in Radha Kund, that only those who bathe in Radha Kund can actually obtain the highest transcendental consciousness. So, of course, it was the Radha Damodar party, 100 of us dove into Radha Kund simultaneously, had our water sports, fought with each other in Radha Kund, came out, Prabhupada heard about it and said, you know, this was a great offense, that we were kicking Srimati Radharani. That was the last time I ever swam in Radhakum, by the way. Go there when we put in 3 drops of water on our head. It was quite a transcendental experience, even, but I wouldn't recommend it. Follow our footsteps. In any case, because it's a service, it's an opportunity for service. Vrindavan is service. There's nothing but service to Krishna. There's nothing but service to the devotees of Krishna. It is completely the mood of service to all living entities. It is not that there's a blade of grass, get out of my way, I have to run and see Krishna. No, one is feeling service to all the living, all the transcendental associates of Krishna in the spiritual world. As Krishna feels himself as a servant, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayar, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, Radha and Krishna feeling themselves to be servants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed that because he is Radha and Krishna. He is nothing but the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, of the those who are serving the self-effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. So similarly, to get that mood of service, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is always feeling service to the to Vrindavan, to all the residents of Vrindavan, and Radha and Krishna. But what is that service to Radha and Krishna in this world? That service to Radha and Krishna in this world is to, their service is to make everyone into a devotee. It's to bring everyone back to the spiritual world. Krishna comes here only for that reason. Therefore he says, Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya tridiskritam dharma samstapanardaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He's coming again and again and again because Prabhupada has always said he doesn't have to come here to kill demons. He comes here when he kills demons to liberate them. He doesn't have to come here simply to reestablish religious principles. He comes here actually to have a relationship with his devotees. And everyone here in this material world is potentially his devotee. So he's coming here in order to reestablish or revive or continue his relationships with his devotees here. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are not only living in Vrindavan and serving Vrindavan, but serving Vrindavan by spreading Vrindavan, by spreading the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna in the mood of service to Vrindavan, which is the mood of service to Vrindavan in separation. So that mood was exemplified and assisted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's assistants, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and all the other transcendental associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by serving Vrindavan, by informing the conditioned souls how to reach Vrindavan in this age. Lord Nityananda would go door to door, as we know, as you all know, saying, Yare, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. Chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, serve Krishna's instructions. This was the mood of the Panchatattva to spread to Jagai and Madhai, to whether whoever it may be, the transcendental mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to develop this mood of service, to become a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna in Vrindavan, of the servants of Krishna in Vrindavan. And of course, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they instructed the 6 Goswamis, and those who take up the message and understand the message of the 6 Goswamis, that is our disciple succession, which is manifested in the form of Srila Prabhupada, who actually understood not only the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood the mission of our disciple succession, and he got on a boat and came to the Western world and began the Hare Krishna movement to spread all over the world. And ultimately, even all over the universe, if possible. But right now we have enough to do in this world. So that is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. As a servant of Saraswati, he came here simply to give everyone he could, Yari Deka Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Aga Guruhana Tari Desh. He actually manifested what this means, whether it meant establishing gurukuls throughout the world, whether it meant establishing farm projects, whatever it meant. That's what Prabhupada did somehow or another bring people to Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another to get them to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, this chanting of Hare Krishna can be experienced within our heart if we actually take the service of Srila Prabhupada seriously. Even those who follow Srila Prabhupada, they have to take Srila Prabhupada seriously to be connected to our disciple succession. And therefore, even we follow the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we're taking Srila, but ultimately, we're being connected with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. Therefore, he's our founder, Acharya, who's actually manifests in this world the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Rupa Goswami, of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and all our disciples of succession. Therefore, our chanting means to serve the instructions that Prabhupada has given us and the means by which we can establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. The more we take that seriously, the more we actually work to, as Prabhupada once wrote to me, to bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more Krishna will bestow all his blessings upon us. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. In that mood of servitorship, then the result is that Prabhupada will be there. Prabhupada and his associates will be there. Prabhupada's associates and Prabhupada is there, Srila Prabhupada is there, then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada is in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I'm never separated from my spiritual master. He's always there. Because Prabhupada had the mood of servitorship to his spiritual master, therefore his spiritual master was always accompanying him, giving him instructions, giving him advice, telling him what to do. Nimitra matram bhavasava sachet. So we also have to become a servant in that way. And if we become a servant in that way, not only will we get Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's association and all his teachings, but also Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, his detachment, his feelings of Iparlamba Seva, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and all our disciples' succession, the six Goswamis, will have all their association, all their understanding and realizations, all, and ultimately the Panchatattva and the direct association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in feeling separation from Vrindavan. And that way we'll be able to enter into Vrindavan and feel actually what real Vrindavan is in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. The most intense feelings of love and service, which actually was what love means, to Krishna and his associates, all his associates. Those who are in Vrindavan, and those who become in Vrindavan by coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. If we're out distributing books or out chanting the holy name, the people are actually hearing the holy name and receiving a book, they're actually, somehow or another, they're coming in contact with Vrindavan. They're temporarily, at least, becoming a resident of Vrindavan, an associate in Vrindavan. This is the potency of the Sankirtan movement. As Krishna was dancing with Srimati Radharani and the gopis and the Rasa dance, so we're dancing in the Sankirtan, the Harinam. That is the Rasa dance in this age. As Krishna was and Srimati Radharani and their associates were taking prasadam in Goloka Vrindavan, so we're distributing that same prasadam in this world. And they were hearing chanting about Krishna, so we're distributing Prabhupada's books, which are written kirtans. as they were dancing and performing different things for Radha and Krishna. So the devotees are also serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, as I've said, as I've been mentioning recently, by this cultural revolution. Prabhupada wanted a cultural revolution just to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all of us, everyone, whoever we may be in all species of life, we're all his eternal servants. Therefore, Prabhupada has given us a cultural revolution, cultural conquest, by which we can convince everyone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they can understand his appearance and his activities. The appearance and activities also of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are non-different from Krishna's. If they can understand that, then their life will become perfect. So what is that cultural conquest that Prabhupada has given us, especially by book distribution, giving people the information by which they can understand what is real and what is not real, and by art and by music, by concerts, by every means to convince people that this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there can actually be cooperation if we cooperate on this one topic. The actual one thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that his followers are interested in, simply bringing Krishna to this world. Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda has said that actually in this world there's no lack except for Krishna consciousness. That's the gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us, and that's the gift that we're supposed to distribute. So with that in mind, that Krishna will give us the intelligence how the members of our movement can actually live unity and diversity. How everyone's talents, whatever they may be, Prabhupada has said, Prabhupada said that it doesn't matter who we are. He writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the verse, Etam Shushushitam Brahmans, that the learned persons have declared that if you're a manager, if you're a Brahmin, if you have some transcendental knowledge, then distribute it to others. Don't utilize it to make yourself important, as if you're the center of existence. If you're a manager, don't simply utilize it to control others. Utilize it to organize others to spread the Sankirtan movement. If you have some resources, don't utilize it for your sense gratification. Utilize it to spread the Sankirtan movement, so that the managers and the preachers have something to do, to utilize in the transcendental Sankirtan movement. And after all, whatever one may be, whoever one may be, ultimately if we do this, we engage our energies in the Sankirtan movement, then we'll actually get ruchi. We'll get a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because when we're utilizing our energies fully in the Sankirtan movement, then when we're hearing and chanting about Krishna, we'll experience Krishna's direct association. Not only Krishna's association, but we'll experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates' association. And our whole disciple succession, including the six Goswamis, will have all their association, because these transcendental literatures, they're full of these, their association. That's what these transcendental literatures are actually giving us. And the more we get the association of the disciple succession, then the sweeter everything becomes. Just like the story with Kolavekar Sridhar, that Kolavekar Sridhar, he was a very poor Brahmin, and he was living in a thatched hut. He was actually a Vaishya, who was working as a Vaishya. He was selling bananas, banana leaves, banana stem. But in Bengal, there are so many bananas. If you walk down the street, you can look up, and there's banana trees everywhere. If you're not careful enough, some bananas may fall down and hit you. So selling bananas is not an international corporation, and it's not a high yield occupation in Bengal. But whatever he could do, he was selling banana leaves, banana flour, banana flowers, banana, whatever he could do. He was earning a few paisa every day, and he gave half of that, whatever he earned, in worship of the river Ganges. And all day and night he would be chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day he would come and he would bargain with Kolabekar Sridhar, and he would try to get bargain down the price of his bananas. And sometimes he'd snatch the bananas away and wouldn't pay anything. And Kolabekar would become very disturbed and say, "You're stealing my bananas, you know, I'm an old person, I can't, you know, I'm going to starve, you know, you're taking my bananas." Anyhow, every day there would be some exchange like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, well, actually Kolabekar, day and night he would be chanting, and because the people living around him, they thought that they were all, first of all, they were all worshippers of Durga and Shiva and the different demigods, and they were living from our point of view. From their point of view, they were living quite opulent lives. They had wonderful food, fresh vegetables and fruits, clean air. They had nice relations with each other. They were living in heaven. But they heard all night long this person chanting Hare Krishna, but they were thinking that he was howling out of hunger pains. Because he was chanting Hare Krishna and not worshiping Durga, he was living in this thatched hut without any roof on it. His only possession was a rusty iron pot that he used to drink Ganges water from. So they thought he was howling out of hunger. And they were saying, if you keep on howling every night, disturbing us, we're going to take you and your thatched hut and we're going to lift it up and throw you in your hut into the Ganges. End your misery. But Kolabekar Sridhar, he didn't care very much for their so-called understanding what he was doing. Day and night he would be chanting Hare Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his, I think it was 23 hours, his revelation, Mahaprakash, and he was revealing himself to all his different devotees. To Murari Gupta, he revealed his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sita and Lakshman and Hanuman there. And he revealed that actually Murari Gupta, you are actually Hanuman. Actually, it was just Sita, Lakshman, and Sita and Lord Ramachandra, and Lakshman was there. So Murari Gupta asked, "Well, where's Hanuman?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Look." And Murari Gupta looked and he saw it. He was Hanuman. He was in a monkey body. So this was going on. Different devotees were getting different transcendental association with Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Kolabekar Sridhar. But no one knew who Kolabekar Sridhar was. And he said, "Go there." Kolabekar Sridhar, his place where he was living, was actually near our Jagannath Mandir in Mayapur. It was just around the corner from there. So they went there and they were all calling out, "Kolabekar Sridhar, Kolabekar Sridhar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants you to come." So finally they found him. Kolabekar Sridhar heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants him to come. He was revealing himself in the Mahaprakash. And so he fainted in ecstasy. They carried him, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stood before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Kolabekar Sridhar, look at me." And he looked at him and he saw Krishna and Balaram. And he said, "I've come here to give you whatever you want." He said, "I want you to make you the king of this planet." And Kolabekar Sridhar said, no, I don't really want that." So he said, "All right, it's not good enough for you. I'll make you the king of all the kings." "No, I don't really want that." "You can keep it." "No, I'm going to make you the king of the whole universe." No, it's all right. "So what do you want?" "I simply want that you come every day in your form as this naughty Brahmin boy and try and steal bananas from me." So this is the mood of the devotee. We cannot understand how much happiness there is in devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. And that happiness will be experienced if we become, as much as we become serious about taking up the mission that Srila Prabhupada has given us and actually trying to save this world, trying to help them, whoever we can, become Krishna conscious. Therefore, that will take cooperation amongst each other. That is the greatest austerity, to give up our false ego, our false conception of who we think everyone else is, and actually listen to them chant the holy name and appreciate it. Appreciate that they're also servants of Krishna and try to cooperate with them in some way to spread the Sankirtan movement. And if we actually become ecstatic like that, as Prabhupada has shown us, then we'll also become expert enough to get the other Gaudiya Mathas to actually engage in this mission, this cultural conquest. We'll be able to unite in many ways all the different Gaudiya Mathas. And why just the Gaudiya Mathas? All the Hindus, all the Vaishnavas, first of all, they all agree that Krishna is God, so we should unite them in this cultural conquest by which Prabhupada has given us. And why just the Hindus? Eventually, if we become expert enough, we'll be able to unite all the religious people just to convince people who actually God is. And then our movement will actually be successful. Then the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada will actually be pleased, and the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis will actually manifest, and this world will actually become Vrindavan. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.